Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. The new post on my blog is about online data backup. It's a tour of some things that I think will benefit you. And if you're not familiar with how that works, folks, you ought to check it out. I think you'll enjoy reading about that. That's on my blog there off of smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, one of the things, let's move over to page two and talk about the economy.
Okay.
A dreary winter for housing will likely give way to a more uplifting spring.
Yeah.
Boy, how did that dreary winter thing is an understatement, Joan. I was just talking in the previous hour with Bill Dunkelberg, the chief economist for NFIB, and his index of small business conditions is seasonally adjusted. So it's really a high-quality technical piece.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, did you have to make extra allowances for this winter? You know, did you have to seasonally adjust the seasonally adjusted? And he said basically, yeah.
Wow.
That they had to think about, you know, was this winter something out of the norm enough that the seasonal adjustment that they make didn't work?
Yeah.
He said it was the case.
Wow.
So you guys are saying that backsliding is probably temporary, the adjustment, because you think the economy is going to move forward a little bit, don't you?
We think so, yeah. We say more strength as the weather improves. And there's a deadline coming up to use the homebuyer tax credit, and that's coming up on June 30th. So we think that's going to spur a bit of home buying.
Do we know what the first round of that did? Do we know anything about that, Joan? Has anybody come up? I haven't seen that.
Homebuyer credit, I've heard that it's you know, stimulated home buying, but I don't have any figures.
I haven't seen anything on that. I haven't seen whether, you know, we knew a lot about the cash for clunkers.
Right.
But we haven't seen anything. I don't think I'm not saying this not out, folks. I just haven't seen that.
Right.
But apparently, you know, it's obviously something they want to keep going, and I think that's a good thing. But it's going to be hampered. That kind of a program is going to be hampered to some degree, Joan, by, you know, just the overall economic conditions, the job situation. If you don't have a job, you're not going to buy a house.
That's true.
The credit availability, even people who still have a job, a lot of people are recovering from overspending, overcharging, and bankruptcies are up, as you know.
Right.
So that's going to hamper some of that. You know, getting a tax credit for a house, for buying a house, is not going to get you a better credit report.
Well, yeah.
and so, you know, you're gonna have to go through all that pent up demand, Joan, is where a lot of this is, isn't it?
Well, sure, yeah.
Inventories. Yeah. We pulled our inventories
on the sidelines, waiting to see how things are going to go.
Well, we pulled a lot of inventories down over the last few months,
right?
Few quarters, I should say.
Right.
Tell us about the easing credit situation that you guys reported on this week.
Well, we say easing credit should help sustain the upward trend in the economy
Through the summer.
I'm sorry.
Through the summer.
So through the summer, yeah. Mortgage lenders are going to start to see less risk of declining home prices. So that is probably going to get more money into the hands of home buyers.
See, that's another thing, Joan. How does a mortgage company get an appraisal on a house? I mean, this is deflation, Joan, we've been having with housing.
Yeah.
And how do you appraise the value of a home today and make a loan 80% to 20% maybe, or if they're doing insurance 90 to 10? How do you make that appraisal if you know that the market is going down, the housing market is going down? I mean,
so the
moment you sign a, you know, you enter into an agreement and you get the appraisal on a house, and then 2 months later you close, and by the time you sign the documents, the house is already worth less.
Yeah.
That's giving a lot of mortgage companies pause, isn't it? A lot of underwriters pause.
Yeah, no question about it.
And that's kind of what you guys were talking about here. What about this? The Federal Reserve may stop buying mortgages. They've been taking up the slack for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, haven't they?
They sure have, yeah.
But they can't keep doing that, can they? I mean, they need a reason to stop, I think.
I would think so.
So that's one of the things you guys mentioned here. But you say that Uncle Sam is somehow going to stay involved in the housing financing.
Well, yeah, we say that Uncle Sam can't walk away because banks are still cautious. So I guess it's going to be FHA loans that really kind of shoulder the load here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a friend who has a pretty expensive house that he's trying to get refinanced, and he's paying down on his mortgage so he can get under the jumbo loan amounts.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What's a jumbo? 480 or something like that?
Oh, something like that. I'm not sure.
Just under 500, I think. I forgot 420. Yeah. I forgot somewhere in the fours. The jumbo loans. Anything more than that, that's a whole other category of house.
Yeah.
But. Interesting. The housing industry, folks, is really another one of those headwinds that we're facing. And it's a combination of a lot of things. The unemployment situation, sales are off, as we saw last hour with Bill Dunkelberg. A lot of headwinds out there. That's the reason this recovery. There's a reason why this recovery is turning into the not-so-great recovery. And it's going to still be a slow slog for a while. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, wrapping up on the economy, one of the things that Obama's talking about is a plan what does he mean here? What do you mean here when you're talking about short sales rather than foreclosures? Do you know what that means?
Well, in other words, what is a short sale?
Yeah, I'm a little confused about a short sale rather than a foreclosure.
Well, a foreclosure is you're just foreclosed on.
Right.
A short sale, everybody agrees, a buyer comes in before, you know, there hasn't been a foreclosure, but the buyer, the owner is behind on their payments,
right.
And the buyer comes in and offers a price, and I don't know how this works. Maybe it's a credit thing in terms of this doesn't ruin the owner's credit rating because the buyer comes in and everybody, including the bank, agrees on a price. But I got to tell you, these are very tough to do. I know people who've been involved in short sales, and you know which leg of the transaction is the hardest to bring to the table is the bank.
That's right.
And I don't understand why, because they sit there and they sit there and they sit there and they let the mortgage not be paid for months and months and months. And rather than accept a reasonable offer and get the loan off their books, they'd rather sit there and I guess wait for the market to come back and maybe get the house sold
right.
at a higher price.
Well, one of the things about it is obviously there are a couple of issues here, Joan. As long as it's still on their books, even if it's been devalued, The biggest concern, even though it's not actually officially been dropped as a loss, it's their biggest concern they've got is dealing with the regulators. But once they foreclose on it and they have to mark it down, that actually comes off their balance sheet then. And so many banks are so fragile now, by when they actually drop the gavel on taking a charge off. There's so many banks, the balance sheets are so fragile right now. Some of the, especially All the big banks are like right. that now, and, uh-huh. but some of the little banks in some of the states like Florida, Nevada, Arizona, California, et cetera, some in Atlanta, a lot of them in Atlanta, those states are those small banks in those states have got a lot of these kinds of loans out there, and so when they actually foreclose and they have to take the write down, that affects their capital position, and that's when the FDIC comes in.
Yeah, I see.
But you're right about this short sale thing. That's a really hard thing to make happen because you gotta have a homeowner who's willing to do this. Then you gotta find a buyer who's ready to go. Why would they buy your house? Why don't they buy one that's already foreclosed?
Right.
And so you're right, but I know that Mr. Obama, President Obama, wanted this to happen. I don't know that he appreciated how difficult it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to be much of a savior, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Another thing you guys reported on the economy is productivity gains.
Yes.
We've had a lot of productivity
They've been rocketing.
Yeah, tell us why.
Well, we say that the rocketing can't really continue because employers are going to be forced to add workers. We said that for the last three quarters, productivity has grown at a torrid 7.3% annual pace. Wow.
Yeah. Well, Joan, that's a combination of getting more work out of the people who are left and using more technology.
Right.
But Joan, at some point in time, and I've been talking about this for a year now, at some point in time, the extra effort you're getting out of people is going to turn into brain damage and a casualty list. People are going to be working, you know, you can only work. And see, a lot of these people who are being asked to work harder and take more and more responsibility, they may not be getting raises. They may not be getting bonuses. They may have even taken a pay cut.
Yeah.
You know anybody like that?
No, nobody. Not a single person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, we all do. And so if you're a small business owner, you know all about that, Joan.
Yeah, sure.
But that's one of the things that it'll be interesting to see. And that's another example of pent-up demand for employees, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
We've been talking about pent-up demand for inventory, for equipment, and so this is a pent-up demand for employees that hopefully will turn the unemployment situation around and hit it in a good way, in a positive way, later this year. Twinny Till, right back after these messages. Joan has an update on where taxes are, some of the tax issues are you and I need to be paying attention to.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.